welcome back to Screen Heroes, episode 96. I am Derek, one of your weekly hosts. I've got my two other lovely hosts with me.
We're always so lovely.
Lovely people. Ryan.
Hello.
And Ray.
Hello.
Welcome back, guys.
Thanks.
How you doing?
It's been a while. I've missed you.
It's been a whole week.
I know. Well, last week was a weird episode.
So. It was. If you missed it, last week was the second annual Screen Heroes Awards, where we put out 30 categories that were voted on over the last couple of months, and we showed all the winners, we gave out prizes to people, and had some fun times, some good times.
Absolutely.
Very little of me, I was mainly behind the scenes, but Ryan, you is your vision okay? It looked like you were having some vision issues.
Yeah, I'm all better now.
You're good now?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's
most
good.
Of that joke was wasted behind the veil of
well, you know, that's why you gotta listen to orientation.
Well, I had this plan for weeks before that was, before orientation happened, so.
I tried to time it a little bit better when you were on screen to give you more time.
That's very kind
that,
of you.
You know, since I was able to control that. But yeah, so that was a good time, and we are back this week to pitch our own individual Star Wars films.
We're doing two Star Wars, count two Star Wars podcasts in a row.
In a row.
Absolutely.
Because next week we'll be reviewing, of course, The Last Jedi.
Yes.
For our last episode of 2017.
Yay!
Oh boy.
So that'll wrap up the year for us, and we'll come back in January. So stay tuned for that. And if you like where we pitch stuff, if you enjoy that, Red Shirts and Runabouts this week is pitching our idea of a Star Trek movie with Quentin Tarantino and Patrick Stewart involved.
So I just have to ask, did you say that for Red Shirts and Runabouts?
Yeah, I did, actually.
You did? You talked about Screen Heroes? Okay.
I did.
Cross-promotion is fantastic.
It's all cross-promotion.
So that's fine.
It happened to be a coincidence.
Just double-checking.
It happened to be a coincidence that both shows were doing similarly themed episodes.
In all fairness, the three of us came up with this idea rather last minute. Usually we have stuff on the books for a while, so that's totally fair.
Yeah, this was kind of spur of the moment. For Red Shirts, this is the first time we're doing something that's kind of creative the whole time we've been reviewing either episodes or movies, so this is stepping out of the box for us.
Absolutely.
So.
Should be fun.
Should be. I mean, I hope so.
Hope so.
Yeah, and also in Star Wars news, we'll give you a little bit of a hint that our December movie parody scene will be something Star Wars related in honor of The Last Jedi. If you don't know what I'm talking about, every month of the last 3 months, December being the fourth, we did a movie parody scene. We've done Pulp Fiction. We've done Scream. We've done The Godfather with a Justice League twist. And those are available on patreon.com/heroespodcasts. The Batfather, as it were, becomes public on Thursday. So,
oh, cool.
If you're a patron, you get 2 weeks of early access plus exclusive behind-the-scenes look and outtakes, which are coming next week. So
I'm glad I was involved in that.
Become a patron today. Hey, there might be outtakes from the older stuff as I get my backlog caught up with.
That'll never happen. So.
It's happening.
That's why we need 3 weeks off, right? Or however many weeks off.
But we're taking 1 week off.
Whatever.
We're taking 1 week.
Okay, so we haven't talked about any news because it's been 2 weeks now.
It has, you're right.
So there's been a lot. I mean, I didn't prep for this. So I know there's a lot of stuff that
happened.
Thanks
for bringing it up.
But like the main thing that I just read today and shared was that She-Ra is getting a Netflix series, apparently.
It is.
Yeah.
That's a pretty interesting one. Like, I wouldn't have guessed that one, but I'm good with it. I mean,
well, Masters of the Universe is getting a new movie.
Yeah, 2019, right?
Yeah.
December 2019.
So it kind of makes sense. They can cross-promote together as well as define two separate different worlds if that's what they wanted to. So both can work if they want to stay separate or combine. It's very possible.
Do they have a time frame for She-Ra?
I don't think it's...
I didn't see one.
If it's live action, they could probably get it filmed and ready to go by the end of 2018. If it's animated, we're probably not going to see it till 2019, to be honest.
The way I read it made it sound like it was a cartoon.
Yeah,
fair enough.
I thought too.
Because it was with two other cartoons.
I was unable to read the article you guys shared, so I'm sorry.
We forgive you.
Thank you.
We're very forgiving.
Punisher got a season two.
It did.
Yeah.
Not really shocking. A big surprise. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, it's good to know.
Jessica Jones got a premiere date for season two.
And a trailer. Yes.
And a trailer.
Yeah. So that's all out there.
Yeah.
It looks like the Disney Fox, 20th Century Fox acquisition is probably going to be announced on Thursday.
And when they announce that, they will not have Fantastic Four rights.
So many fanboys are just like screaming.
I'm sure they'll be able to get Fantastic Four rights. I mean, it's a much smaller company that has the rights, so they technically what's left of the rights, so they can I'm sure Disney can pick up the money for that.
I just think it's funny. I think it would be hilarious if the one thing that people were really excited about was the one thing that was left behind, you know, just in kind of a cynical way, because this deal is really bad for movies, in my opinion, just across the board.
Yes.
It's bad for life in general.
Yes.
Across the board.
It gives Disney a little too much control. They've already thrown their weight around with, pushing theaters to take other movies out of IMAX showing so Disney can have them, booking entire months at a time. I mean, they booked an entire month of every IMAX theater in the country for Tarzan.
Yeah.
Right? We're not talking about like Infinity War or The Last Jedi. We're talking about the Tarzan live action movie. Did it really need four straight weeks of IMAX exclusivity?
That wasn't a Disney production, babe.
Was it not?
No.
Disney's Tarzan?
The live action was not Disney. It would have done better in theaters had Disney pushed it.
Who made it?
I will find out.
Okay.
But Edgar Rice Burroughs, the gentleman who wrote Tarzan, his family did not give over all rights.
So then what did Disney... Why was Quentin Tarantino mad at Disney for not...
It was
not...
Star Wars.
That was Star Wars. Yeah.
They took up the IMAX for Star Wars and Hateful Eight couldn't have any.
Yeah.
Is that what it was?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, it wasn't... That one wasn't Tarzan. I know that for sure.
Okay. I was confusing.
Tarzan came out in the summer.
Tarzan had an entire month of IMAX, I remember, because Paramount was mad because Star Trek Beyond couldn't get any IMAX screens for its premiere. I remember that.
I'm not disagreeing with you.
So, well, anyway, this would give Disney even more control.
And it would give Fox News $60 billion.
And it would give Fox News $60 billion, which is very bad from a political standpoint. If you know us, you understand where we're coming from. But yeah, so that's a thing that's probably happening on Thursday, along with the FCC vote on net neutrality, which will probably not go in a positive direction for us either. So Star Wars is our one little glimmer of hope this week, yeah. Ironically, in a week where a bunch of really bad stuff is probably going to happen. So we're going to live in that universe for the week and pitch our own Star Wars film. So for those who don't know how this works...
Warner Brothers.
Warner Brothers did Tarzan. My mistake.
That makes sense. They're also a big powerhouse that weight around. So yeah. Whatever.
If you have not heard our pitches before, we basically will go around and each pitch a premise, an idea, a plot for our Star Wars
script.
Or in Ryan's case, an entire script.
He wrote an entire script. I am not that detailed today.
So I like to start with Ryan because this is kind of where he shines, I think, the most in all of our formats. You put a lot of work into
this. I do. Pages. I like the opportunity, and I appreciate the opportunity to be creative about things that I really enjoy. So
I only meant that as a compliment.
No, like, that's how I took it.
This seems to be your wheelhouse, just like right here.
And Star Wars is, you know, something that I'm very passionate about. So, yeah. Yeah, I put some work
in mine. I think two out of the three of us are very passionate about Star Wars.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Yeah.
Two out of the three of us.
And the third is not, like...
Against it.
Just not as passionate as the other two.
There
probably.
You go.
Can
I do something really quick? I wanted to start doing something.
Okay.
To you guys.
Whoa.
All right.
I did not agree with that.
So I don't believe this deserves its own podcast, which is why I'm just going to interject. But pop quiz off the top of your head, first choice to replace Ben Affleck as Batman. Go.
I really like the John Hamm casting.
Yeah?
I actually agree with you. I think it's a good choice.
If there wasn't any rumors.
Michael Keaton.
Old now, man.
No, they wanted old grizzled Batman. He still got it.
It's old and grizzled.
It's old and grizzled.
That's perfect. That is you said
true.
First thing that popped in my head.
Yeah,
there it is.
Yeah.
Derek, anything?
This is a lot harder for me because
you've never seen a Batman movie.
I've never seen a Batman movie. I'm not even really familiar with the cartoons. I think is he an IDW property?
Yeah. Oh my god!
Or is that Image? But anyway, no, it's difficult for me because I was never super thrilled with Christian Bale's Batman, and Michael Keaton and Ben Affleck's are my two favorite of the live action ones, which I don't feel like is like a huge stretch since the other two in the category are Val Kilmer and George Clooney.
Don't talk anything about my man Val.
So something personal. So I have a hard time thinking of Ben Affleck's replacement if he's going to be the same Batman.
Yeah,
that's a little weird for me. If they're going
to
totally
that's what John Hamm is supposed to be. Hamm is supposed to be the same Batman,
which is why I like that as a casting choice. I think he'll be able to pull it off from just a tonal perspective, from a physical perspective. I have no concerns there. But if I had to pick somebody else, because that's the rule, that's really difficult for me. I nobody comes to mind.
Okay, that's totally fair.
In total honesty,
I think we should just do these like little pop quizzes sometimes.
I was not prepared for this.
So Michael Keaton won.
Why it's a pop quiz?
So Screen Heroes says Michael Keaton should be Batman again.
Agreed. Bring back Michael.
How great
Keaton.
Would it be if they did a Batman Beyond though, and Michael Keaton was the old Bruce Wayne?
Yes,
so perfect. That'd be
so good.
So
that's
perfect.
Obviously the casting choice.
Who would you cast as Terry McGinnis?
I don't know.
All right.
Alexander Skarsgård maybe. I think that would be an interesting one.
That's not terrible. I'm not.
He's
terrible.
A
I mean, honestly,
too.
I never watched Batman Beyond, so I'm not super familiar with the character,
okay.
Other
That's
than
true.
Like his physicality.
He's supposed to be pretty young. Like he's still in high school, and you know
That's
he's
young.
Kind of like
yeah,
kind of he isn't a jock, but his stature is very much like a jock would have been, right? But he's kind of an outsider. So I'm trying to think of somebody significantly younger, like maximum of 20 or 22. If like he doesn't have to be in high school, you could put him in college if you wanted to do. You know, a PG-13 movie in the DCEU, that's fine.
Okay.
But, yeah, Michael Keaton, absolutely.
That'd be amazing.
Yeah, that's so great.
He could basically play his role in, from Spider-Man.
Just be
like,
a little
yeah.
nicer, just, not a criminal.
I mean, he doesn't even really have to be that
but,
much nicer.
It's literally, but it's his same Batman is what would work really well, because the age, like, it is gone that much
that's
time,
true.
Right?
Yeah.
So you could actually do the entire pilot to Batman Beyond with Michael Keaton in there, and it would work.
Yeah.
You know, so, I think that would be awesome.
Yeah. I think they should hire us for Warner Brothers DC division for the movies.
Not gonna lie, I bet the three of us could have written a better Justice League. I don't know if we would have had the power to fight the studio,
no.
But
I mean, like, I don't think it matters how good of a script anybody would have written. The studio
yeah.
does what they want to do. So someday they'll
whatever,
learn.
Whatever. Someday, do what I want.
Someday they'll learn. It took Marvel basically all of Phase 2 to learn from those types of mistakes, and then we got a movie like Ragnarok that was totally not what Marvel Studios
Phase
normally would have let them
has
do.
Been really solid, and if you go back and you read the interviews between all the people involved in Phase 2 that are not involved in Phase 3, they're like, no, they tied my hands, I couldn't do anything creative, it was a miserable experience, and you
Phase
know,
3
like,
doesn't have that feeling to it.
Yeah, it doesn't.
So
it's true.
I think
we've gotten much better films out of Phase 3.
I think Ragnarok's just a good example because of how different it is, how unique it is.
I think, like, if I had to fight that a little bit, I think that, I know you don't like the movie, but Captain America the First Avenger, Joe Johnston, is that
mm-hmm.
who did that?
I don't dislike
I think
it.
That one, like, they let him kind of do his own, like,
yeah.
that was
well,
the second
phase
or the
one.
Third.
That was
in Phase 1.
That was the fifth.
Was it the fifth?
No, it was the fourth.
Fourth.
Okay. Well, I mean, I think they pretty much let him run on that with as far as... Because he had already done The Rocketeer and had done...
Wasn't Thor first?
No.
Before Cap?
No, I
Cap
looked it up
first,
today.
Okay.
Cap was first.
Okay. I don't dislike First Avenger. I just think that Winter Soldier is a leaps and bounds superior.
I don't
film.
Think anybody's going to argue that. Well, so. There's one guy, I guess. I really enjoyed First Avenger, but I would say it's no. Winter
there's
Soldier
parts of it I really like. Like Evans is great.
Yeah.
You know, but there's a lot of technical issues with it that I think by the fourth MCU film they should have resolved. And that weren't in, like, in Iron Man. They're just not in there.
Yeah.
So, Iron Man, I thought, was technically better done than First Avenger was.
I think Iron Man...
You guys are rewatching.
We are. Actually, you know what? Maybe you want to talk about that for a quick second?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, then let's move on to Star Wars. So,
we'll shut that right now.
No, it's fine.
No. I will talk about it at the end of the podcast.
Okay. Well, stay tuned for weird MCU news. All right. So, let's do this. Ryan, give us... your pitch. Star Wars episode are.
Do we want to start with the best? Because I could go first.
Yeah, I feel like
I'm clearly going to be the worst.
Well, right, I don't know that you guys are going to be the worst.
No, you go first. Go right ahead.
Okay. So I am going to pitch what is a fan favorite, and most people think it could eventually get made. It has a high thing. I'm doing this because she is my favorite character, and I want to know more about her. It's the Ahsoka Tano movie. I completely agree with the fan casting and the actress insisting that she play it Rosario Dawson. She's been campaigning for herself to be Ahsoka for the past couple of years in a live-action film. Ahsoka debuted in the Clone Wars cartoon, and she just recently showed back up in Rebels. Clone Wars ended with her being framed for a murder and kind of dishonorably discharged from the Jedi Council, so she goes into isolation. And there's there's a good amount of time where she's in isolation. And that's what I want to focus on, because her character is so different from Clone Wars to Rebels that I think it would be a fun Odyssey journey. And to be honest, we haven't seen too many Odyssey films from a female-led heroine. It's always been a male. This would also give the chance to show an alien instead of a human as the main character, as well as a non-white brunette woman would be the star. So I think that would be a lot of fun. With it being an Odyssey thing, you could do so many fun stuff. She could have fights. She could come across characters that we haven't seen in a long time. Two characters I really want her to come across are Obi-Wan, because he's also in isolation at this time. And Ewan McGregor could easily come back. He's right at that age that works for it, so we don't have to recast.
So this is at the time, though, when he's on Tatooine.
This is after.
After what?
So Clone Wars, Rebels takes place after Episode 3,
right,
and in between Episode 4.
Right.
Clone Wars takes place in between 2 and 3.
Right.
So this is in the middle. And
so after Episode 3.
He could be on Tatooine. He could be elsewhere.
Like, okay.
He didn't spend his entire time on Tatooine because he had, you know, a few romances and things like that. And
well, none of that's canon.
Clone Wars is canon.
Well, okay, but
and he was in a straight up romance with Satine.
Clone Wars is before Episode 3, though. So at the end of Episode 3, he's taking Luke to Tatooine.
That's fair.
So that's why I was wondering.
I mean, it's possible he went off planet. Yeah. You know, at some point in there, they don't really.
Maybe while he was a baby or something,
he's obviously not Sir Alec Guinness age.
No, I know.
There's a few years.
Yeah, because he learns to speak to Qui-Gon and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just wondering.
The thing is, in my movie, there's no reason why Ahsoka couldn't go to Tatooine and meet up with him. There's also no reason why they couldn't run into each other on another planet somewhere. You know, it doesn't really matter. Because I don't have the details of what she should be doing kind of figured out. I just kind of want to see her journey in between. I also want her to come across Boba Fett. I think it's time we see him be a badass in live action and not just have it be in the legends at this point. And I want him to be played by Michael B. Jordan. I think Michael B. Jordan should be in the Star Wars universe, and I think he should play someone awesome. And Boba Fett is someone who has not been awesome in the movies, but who has been incredibly awesome in the books and video games. So I thought that would be fun too. Couple actors that I thought about that I feel should be in the Star Wars universe. I mean, let's see. At this point, she could run into Lando. We could see Donald Glover again. Could we? Time-wise?
Yeah.
I mean, because the Han Solo
movie he totally is would before A New Hope. So,
all right. If this is around the same time, there's no reason why we couldn't see Donald Glover. I don't know, there's so many female actresses I'd love to see in the film. Maz Kanata could show up, because we don't know anything about her. So,
right. Yoda could be there.
Yeah.
Well,
Hell yeah, Yoda could be there.
Let's I mean, I'm just going to put Yoda in everything.
No, I know.
Yeah, but I'm going to put Yoda in everything.
We have to be a little careful, though, right? Because Yoda should be on Dagobah and
sometimes he goes off-world, you know? He wasn't in Dagobah in all the prequels.
No, but this is after the prequels.
Okay, well, right? I'm saying...
So the point is that when Vader does his big no scene, all the Jedi run, and Obi-Wan goes to Tatooine, and Yoda goes to Dagobah. So... There'd have to be
But I mean, if I want Yoda in it, then Yoda's going to be in it.
Well, so
I'm not saying no to that. I'm just saying you have to explain.
We're going to retcon it.
I would like to see Olivia Wilde in the Star Wars universe. I feel like she hasn't had a lot of good work lately, and that's no fault of hers. So bring her in there. And poor Terrence Howard got a bad deal from Disney earlier, so let's bring him back and give him a cool role. Maybe he can be
and
a bartender.
He'll get underpaid for it again.
He's got a very successful TV show, so.
So, the end of my pitch, very lastly, I want it directed by Ava DuVernay. She's done Selma, which is a completely different film, but this year she's also debuting A Wrinkle in Time. And that is a fantasy slash sci-fi film, and it looks very beautiful from the trailers. I think she could handle the visual aspects that need to go into a Star Wars film. And I think she would definitely handle a female-led Star Wars film very well. So that is my pitch. Ahsoka Tano, the isolated Jedi. Maybe just call her.
I don't know enough about her to be able to talk much about that,
that's
unfortunately.
Totally
like,
fair.
I got the cartoons or whatever people are calling them. They're not really in my cup of tea. I've gone over that before. So
yeah.
That's, you know, I'm sure it would be cool. She's a cool-looking character. Mm-hmm. I mean, but beyond that, I don't really know anything about her, so...
That's fair.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally.
Okay. Well, that's Ray's pitch, then.
Yeah.
So we got a prequel movie.
An in-betweensies.
an anthology film. Yeah. A Star Wars story.
Absolutely. I do... Since most likely she is going to die in the last season of Rebels, because, of course, we don't see her in 4, 5... And 6. I think it's a one-time film. I don't think there's, like, an option for Ahsoka Tano 2. And
I mean, maybe
I'm cool with that. I'm
maybe
totally
she'll die,
fine with that.
Die the way Mace Windu died, and, you know.
Maybe one day, yeah, of course. The maybe.
Samuel Jackson really thinks he's still
he's
alive.
He's actually Snoke.
He's Snoke. His voice changed.
His skin color changed.
Well,
kind of
he's a hologram, so...
Yeah.
You know, nobody's...
I mean, he looks pretty white in the action figure.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, that's true.
Maybe the lightning screwed up his skin.
There you go.
Who knows? Maybe. So, I think Derek should go next.
No. I'm going last.
Whatever.
Why does he feel like he needs to go last?
I don't understand.
Are you
I
really
think
you're going to go follow
I
my pitch?
I think we should save it and not blow our load too soon.
I have a couple of different ideas, and I'm going to pick the one that balances best with your two. So,
know that mine's going to be nothing like either of yours.
Perhaps.
I was hoping that you went for the Knights of the Old Republic.
I know, and that's probably what a lot of people hoped.
Yeah.
But I kind of...
And I actually thought you would go with the Delta Squad from the video games.
You know, I didn't even think about the video games. But mainly because, like, if I was going to do a video game, one of the Star Wars video games as a movie, it would be Shadows of the Empire. Because I love that story. I think it's really
cool.
Yeah,
it's not a bad story, but
what's
man,
the
nice
story?
The Old Republic.
It's basically like a companion novel to Empire Strikes Back and part of Return of the Jedi.
That's fair. I guess I just thought that, like, since the Delta Squad were, you know, like, it's just more up your alley, in my opinion. It's like the small elite team that...
See, I surprised you.
And it's like a first-person shooter kind of thing. And
I surprised you.
You
That's
did,
so
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right, fine. I'll go then.
Thank
pick
you.
Your favorite one.
So
and if we have time left over, then you can pitch your other one.
No, this is fine. I'll go with my favorite one then. So I actually, mine is an Empire story. I kind of got the inspiration a little bit from Battlefront 2, because there's a big focus in the campaign on the Empire characters a bit.
Are there loot boxes in your movie?
Yes. In order to get the entire film, if you want to see all the dimensions of the movie, then you're going to have to buy...
You have to get force dust from the loot boxes and eventually craft the rest of the movie.
You're going to have to grind by eating popcorn, and if you don't eat enough popcorn, you don't unlock loot boxes.
Right. You could do it like a Clue thing and release 3 separate films. So when everybody was talking about it.
Yes. I'm going to release it in scenes, and you have to unlock each scene grinding enough.
Pitch it to EA, I bet you'll get in.
They would love it.
If you want to hear John and I bitch about EA a little bit, go check out Gamer Heroes. I'm just saying, we've torn into them a couple of times.
Let's just mention all the shows.
We're just going to cross-promote. All night
everything.
Long. All right, so here we go. So I actually went a totally different route. Mine, I guess Empire is the wrong word. It's more of the First Order. That's right. That just happened. Brian didn't join in.
No. All right. I did not.
So we recently rewatched The Force Awakens to kind of, prep for The Last Jedi, of course. And, I always try and pay really close attention during the rewatches before, like, a sequel, just in case there's any little Easter eggs. And there was a lot of stuff about Finn's story that I found to be really just kind of interesting and compelling, because there's some lines thrown in there about how, they should have used clones, which, of course, is a throwback to the clone army of the Republic in the prequels, and about how Finn was, he never really knew his parents, he was taken away from home and all of that. So mine actually is... more or less, it could be framed as like a Finn origin story, but it's more of a behind-the-scenes look at the military upbringing of the people that become stormtroopers. Okay? So the idea is for it to be basically like a very grounded Ender's Game, where they take these kids from their parents, and I want it to be kind of serious, like very toned.
I'm picturing like an Ender's Game plus Apocalypse Now kind of thing. Like,
it kind of one goes into the other, yeah. Would kind of be how it is, right? So
is there going to be a shower scene where they fight each other naked?
No.
Okay, because that's very Ender's Game of you if you do that.
No, there isn't. The only military shower scene I ever liked was the one in Starship Troopers.
Yeah. There were nailed chicks it. In there, right?
There yep. were. The scene was actually very interesting. So the premise of the movie is I want it to kind of start with the First Order rounding up all these kids, okay? And while I want the Finn reveal to come at the end,
yeah.
So they're going to round up like a group of kids, 8 to 10 kids that are going to be like this new unit that are going to be trained, okay? And it's a mixture of different types of kids, so, none of them really seem like anybody specific. They don't really have names, right? They're given like these numbers, but since they're not stormtroopers yet, I was thinking maybe that their code system might be different. So that way when they become like stormtroopers, they're given their official like rank and number, right? So kind of hiding the fact that it's Finn is the idea, and follow along with what that means. Like, so how old were they when they were taken, and what was that like? Did their parents get any type of, retribution for it? Were they, like, really poor and they thought they were giving their kid a better life? Or did the Empire just, like, destroy a village and steal a bunch of kids, right? Or the First Order, excuse me, I keep doing that. So then they're going to age up, right? They're going to go through all this training, and there'd be not like Rocky IV or anything, but yes, there would be some training montages to show these kids growing up and the types of things they have to do, right? The simulations, having to learn how to fight and shoot, archery, hand-to-hand combat, of course.
You could do similar things like they did in the Hunger Games training sessions, which were very intense, only you make them more... or I guess less.
But they have to
voluntary.
Miss all the time. That's the thing.
But they don't. That's a bad trope. Sci-fi has so many tropes that are just not accurate.
Like stormtroopers. They're not accurate.
It's true. They're terrible. Except for, of course, the line about the Jawas being destroyed.
Yeah, one throwaway line, yeah.
So, that's fine. Anyway, so the idea, of course, is that we're watching these kids get trained up. They become young adults now. They started off as 8 to 10 year olds. Now they're young adults. They're teenagers. They're going through the program. Maybe they do split off into different types of groups. So you can some are going to become pilots, right? Versus some are the stormtroopers versus yada yada, right? Maybe there's an officer's program and one kid's
is there a radar technician program?
Yeah, that's totally, okay. Totally right. No, but I, what I do want is there has to be some dissent in this group, right? So what I want is one of the kids to kind of be, what's the word? What's the term I'm looking
for? The bully.
Not the bully, but like he definitely like throws everybody under the bus. He's trying to be like the teacher's pet, but in kind of a darker way.
He's the Draco Malfoy.
Right? Yes, thank you. Yes.
And it's Phasma.
No, she would be too old for his group, I would think. Because she's Captain Phasma, and that's
Finn's first mission. So maybe she's like 5 years older.
I actually was thinking
like
that maybe she like trained the group up. You know, maybe she became promoted around the end of that.
So yours is going to fall into the typical Star Wars trope that everything exists around the people we already know.
Nothing
else in the entire universe ever happens.
But the idea here is not so much that it's Finn. Like, that's kind of a fan service-y way to end the movie. Right, is that, you know, they cut to like their final days and it's John Boyega and kind
well,
of
if you
thing,
have
right?
Phasma like but, teaching them and like, you know, why don't you just have Kylo Ren in there like playing pranks on
them?
That's
what I was saying, it was going to be at the end, like she was like their last instructor. Okay. Right, I'm talking about like the last 15 minutes of the movie, 20 minutes of the movie. The majority of the movie is not supposed to be about Finn, it's about what it's like to be a stormtrooper, like how you were taken away from your family and brought up in this.
Right, I get that, I like that part.
Yeah, so that's what the movie's really about.
I just would rather be about.
Well,
you can have a mixture of like kids. Some kids think it's abuse, and other kids get Stockholm syndrome.
You should just make it like a breakfast club, except in the Stormtrooper program.
That's kind of where like the Draco type kid comes in, right? Is that he buys into the whole program and he wants to be the best of the best and move up in the ranks and things like that. And that's how you become a Captain Phasma kind of character, right? Is that you have to stand above all these other Stormtroopers who are there because they're essentially prisoners. They're essentially slaves, right? But some become officers. And that's kind of where some of the antagonistic plot is going to come from is, you know, it can't be all just above the First Order's doing things. That's not that interesting.
You could also show where the squads differentiate, like who gets chosen to be a pilot and who gets to become death troopers and sand troopers and snow troopers and all the troopers.
Yes.
Sorry.
I said that.
Did you? Oh my god, I totally missed that part.
You have such a good pitch, Derek. It's compelling.
Oh my god.
Oh man, this is rough. So the idea is to show the whole training program, right? So yeah, they focus on this core group of 8 to 10 kids, but you'll see the larger groups when they have like big announcements or they have like their graduations and they move up to different levels of training, they split off into those different groups. And then the idea is to focus on this core group of kids and about what it does to them emotionally and mentally, being, you know, away from their families and siblings and any friends that they did know prior to then. I really want one of the kids to try to escape, and it obviously would go very poorly.
Right.
Right.
We're going to have child murder in a Disney film.
Young adolescent murder. Okay. I wasn't going to do it when they were 8. I was
their
young ones? Like 15, 16.
Gotcha.
Right. But I mean, yeah, we already killed a bunch of children, right? So
off screen.
George Lucas did that, so. But yeah, so the idea is for this to kind of be very real, very toned like Rogue One, right? Where it's very military focused. It's kind of like a war film, but you know, you don't see the front lines, right? The idea is that it ends where The Force Awakens begins, essentially. And so it fills in just a little bit of that gap between Return of the Jedi and The Force Awakens. So I just think it would be really interesting because we got a lot of the background of the clone troopers, like where the clones came from. Of course, that was Jango Fett, and you know we get a lot of them in the Clone Wars and in Rebels. We get a few cameos from some of the originals and things of that nature, and we know that they're no longer clones. So you know they have a couple of those lines. I just think it'd be really interesting to fill in that kind of mythos.
Well, Finn has a really good storyline. The fact that he's a defected stormtrooper is incredibly interesting. I think it's the most interesting plot thread in Force Awakens because it's the one plot thread we haven't seen before.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And I don't want anything cheesy. I want one of the kids to try and escape and he gets killed. I don't want that to be like Finn's best friend or something like
or
that.
Or like a Slipknot right? thing.
No,
yeah, check out this guy that can tie knots.
No, I want it to actually be.
He didn't even get an intro.
I want it to be one of the core 8 to 10 kids that, like, a half an hour or 40 minutes in the movie, when they're like 15 years old, 16 years old, tries to escape and gets killed. I want it to be very real and very heavy, but I don't want it to be like Finn's best friend in the world, and that's why he's, you know, he wants to run away because his best friend was killed. I don't want to diminish what he does.
Well, no, because you would suspect that once they lose their identities, they're very discouraged from having friendships. Mm-hmm.
So that's the thing. Like, I would think that they're very segregated. For anyone that's read Ready Player One, I think that the way, like, when he's doing, when he's an indent at IOI, I think that the way they live in those, like, very segregated little boxes where it's just your bed and a computer console, and that's your entire life. The door opens when it's time for your shift, right? Yeah. And you come back in when your shift is over. Like, that kind of reality for these people.
You could also differentiate, like, how you become a stormtrooper and how you become, like, General Hux. Like, what's the difference between those?
So that's also what I was talking about with, like, the Draco-type kid. Is that he buys into this whole idea of what the First Order is doing and decides that he's going to make the best of it, and so he wants to...
So maybe he never becomes a stormtrooper. He goes straight to... He
becomes an officer, right? Or that's, like, that's how you get the Captain Phasma-type people, right? That's how you get the person who leads all the stormtroopers for this particular Star Destroyer, you know, or something like that.
It's not a bad pitch. I'd watch that movie.
Yeah, it's not your worst pitch.
Thank you.
Definitely Thank not you. Your worst pitch.
If you think it's my worst pitch, please let us know at Heroes Podcast on Twitter. More plugging.
Right, that's on iTunes.
All right, Ryan, let's do this.
We have a Gmail, too.
Let's do this. You've got plenty of time. Give us your pitch.
Okay.
Do you have a name?
I do.
Of course he does.
Do you?
I was actually just going to call mine Stormtrooper. Like, Han Solo, Ahsoka.
Oh, I was thinking about calling mine the Lost Jedi, just to be an asshole.
Wow. You're fired.
I mean, the Solo movie's just called Solo.
You know? Yeah, so mine's better than that.
So that's why I was thinking, like, Stormtrooper might be interesting, or like, Recruit. Or not Recruit.
See, I think Solo should be Solo, a Han Solo story.
Featuring Chewbacca.
A Solo Han Solo movie. Like, let's just get the word Solo in there.
This is why it wasn't their first anthology film. So they couldn't, just, you know that. All right. Let's do this.
Okay. So I can tell you the title right now.
I can see it.
Okay, well, you can see it.
So a long time ago.
I need to make the title
smaller.
Is this
the crawl? Did you make the crawl? Huh? Did you make the crawl?
No. Okay. I didn't make the crawl. There's no crawl. Because this is an anthology movie. We're not putting crawls in anthology movies.
Oh, man. It's bullshit.
Yeah, I'm okay with it. It gives a certain flavor. It makes it feel different right away. Okay, so I wrote, like, the entire opening scene, and I'm going to try and read it without making it ridiculous. Of course, I probably already did make it ridiculous when I wrote it. But
how many screen wipes are involved in the opening scene?
Screen wipes?
Yeah.
Probably none.
How can you even call that a Star Wars movie?
That's a fair point.
In all fairness,
it's a very different movie.
In all fairness, there's a screen wipe after a scene, sweetie. That's how things happen.
That's so true. Well, I mean, this would probably be multiple scenes, realistically, but when I say the opening scene, I say it was like, it would be like, see, what the movie opens with, not just a scene.
She pays
scene.
Attention to my screen wipe joke, but not my actual plot for my movie.
You should, you know, have you ever thought about having, like, officers and everybody mingle there, and they could be different kinds of troopers in your movie?
Was there
I should totally do stormtroopers. That's
you
what
should,
my
yeah.
Was there
about.
A water cooler yeah. involved? So, could they talk about
it? Was there any music from the Breakfast Club in that? Or
don't you
just
was there a weird person that, like, ate cereal
about
and
me.
Did she did something weird with cereal. I don't remember.
I mean, it's not cereal. This is Star Wars.
There's cereal in Star Wars.
There's lots of blue milk.
That's a good point.
And Womp Rats.
Not to be combined, hopefully. Unless it's Womp Rat blue milk.
I mean,
they have to come from somewhere.
That's definitely not kosher to mix your Womp Rats and blue milk. So.
Oh, my God.
By the way, happy Hanukkah to all my Jewish brethren. So, it's the first night of Hanukkah.
It is. All right.
Good talk.
This has been a long
I'm Jewish.
Build up.
It's significant.
Okay. My movie opens, and you see a group of Jedi. And, oh, we got a suggestion.
I love it.
So Bruce Wayne 25 thinks my movie should just be called Trooper. And I'm fine with that. I think that's fine.
Yeah.
I think Stormtrooper is a little long. So yeah. I think Trooper works really well.
Trooper, a Star Wars story. It's fine. It's good.
Yeah, not bad. Okay, so my movie opens up on a snow planet with a group of Jedi and, like, a village. And you see, like, traditional Jedi robes, but they also have armor, like Old Republic-style armor on underneath. And they're standing in two rows facing each other, and they're holding metal swords. and you hear someone in the distance yell, "Begin!" And then they start, like, sparring with the swords, right? Back and forth, you know, training, whatever. You see kids, like, fighting to the side with sticks, like, you know, trying That's to adorable. Emulate the adults. Like, yeah. like Wonder Woman, kind of, like the girl that was, like, you know. Wonder
I love
Woman.
It.
Yeah.
the actual Diana.
Yeah, the actual Wonder Woman.
Since there were no other children.
As they're fighting, you hear, like, the tauntaun. You know the tauntaun noise, right?
I do.
Yeah, Derek knows. Can you do it real quick?
No.
Okay. You hear the tauntaun noise, and it kind of echoes in the camp, and the guy that yelled begin, you just kind of see a shadowy kind of guy, robed guy. He rushes off to go meet the tauntaun rider. You can see that his armor is definitely different. He's probably like a leader of some kind. And the rider of the Tauntaun says to the other guy, "I found it, Master. I found the cave." And he hands him a map. And he says, "I also found this, Master," and hands him a glowing green crystal. And the hooded figure, who is the Master, I guess, that he's referring to, kind of holds it up, and you can see his face, because there's, like, glow from the campfire, and it's making it glow green on his face, and you can see, like, he's really old and battle-worn, and you can tell that he's won some battles and lost some battles in his life. It's been a rough life. You can tell all this just by his face, okay? It tells a story, right? We're talking, like, Danny Trejo-level face. You just know that he's been through
some
crap.
So Danny Trejo is the star.
No, he's not
film.
The star. But he's like that
he's
level.
He's seen some stuff.
He's seen some stuff in his life, right? This isn't a guy that's like lived a glamorous life. So without saying a word, the guy takes the crystal and he like rushes back to the building that he came from. And you can kind of watch him for a second, like tinkering on a workbench, and you can see him put the crystal into like the hilt of a sword and close it up, and it's like a full metal sword. And he walks out to where all the other Jedi are training, and he yells at them to stop, and they run over to him and kind of circle him, and he tells them, "Attack me, show me what you've learned." And he hits a button on the end, and you hear like kind of a lightsaber noise. Like you can tell it's got something like that, but instead of being a lightsaber, it's just like a thin green blade that kind of comes along the edge of the metal sword. And he cuts through everybody's metal sword while he's, you know, sparring with them like it's butter. And you can see that, like, the sword has, like, a power cable coming off it. It's, like, very primitive with, like, a big box on his belt. It's the original OG Jedi weapon.
So this is an Old Republic.
This is like the beginning of the Old Republic.
Prehistoric Republic.
Yeah, this is several, like the very first generation of Old Republic. The camera kind of pans out and you see like halves of swords like chopped in half and stuff. And you see like the glow and it just kind of fades to black. And then the story is called Saber, a Star Wars story. And I have a whole bunch written on it. The long and the short of the story is that it's basically channeling or following the story of the crystal, and how it goes from this primitive sword all the way through several generations to be what we know as our current lightsaber.
Right.
So in the story, one of the kids is the son of that master. And when the Sith hear about this new technology, they come and attack, and they take some loss, but they eventually are able to figure out a way to defeat this saber and, you know, just stay away from the blade that will cut through your sword or whatever, because everybody's using swords at this point. It's right. Not a technology. And so they kill the Jedi that had the saber. And so while they're taking away the body, one of the kids like runs up and sneaks away the sword, which don't ask why they didn't take the sword that had the technology that they wanted, but in this case they didn't. Somehow
so they have like wires and power cables, but they still use swords.
Yeah, but I mean, it's, you know, it's very primitive. Like you could tell it's not like that's actually from like a canon storyline in Star Wars that they used swords, and that like the first proto saber was, you know, around when they had blaster technology and things like that. I mean, Jedi are never going to use blasters or anything like that, so they always wanted a more elegant weapon. And so,
for a more, you know, civilized
right.
time.
Right. And so the long and the short of it is that the kid, like, sees where his father failed and develops the proto saber, which is essentially a lightsaber as we know it, but still has like a cable and a battery box and all that stuff. Well, throughout that kid grows up mm-hmm. to defeat the Sith that killed his right. father, and has a kid, and it's a daughter, and he is killed by a bounty hunter. Excuse me, that actually cuts the cable to the lightsaber, the proto saber. And so this girl sees that and goes on a rampage and, like, decides to learn, you know, how she can fix the problem that her dad, you know.
So three generations.
Three generations.
I love it.
Yeah, and she eventually, like, she goes through and in her trying to learn all the skills that it's going to take to build something that would work it like she wants. It would be portable, not need a battery pack, all that stuff. She experiments on the crystal, the original green crystal, to kind of try to see if she can make that more powerful. While she's doing all this, and eventually she goes and she gets it working and to hunt down the bounty hunter that killed her father, and when she ignites the lightsaber, it kind of turns out green and then kind of crackles and turns red from the chemicals and testing she did on it, and she kills the Mandalorian that killed her father, but then she also is like bloodthirsty and goes and kills like the whole whole village on Mandalore, and at the end of the movie. An Emperor Sith looking guy like uses the Force to stop her from being able to move, and essentially tells her that she's going to be his apprentice, and that's where the movie pretty much ends.
That's cool.
So, interesting.
I like it.
Yeah, I thought it would be cool to follow like an object rather than a storyline of a character specifically, and it also does follow the storyline of a series of characters. There's no real main. Character, you know, there's a main family kind of like the Skywalkers, but it's, you know, kind of a more compact, and that's why like I did some casting on it, but it was tough to cast because you see these characters as like kids, right. You know, and throughout their lives, so but for the woman I had Mary Elizabeth Winstead in mind. I really wanted somebody like that was like you could like see a pain, like feel yeah. darkness from him, and I thought she could do that. I had Jason Momoa as the first original master. I want him to have like long hair and be like, you know, like a primitive looking kind of Jedi before they were refined with like short hair and braids and like all this other stuff, you know, the
rat tails,
right? And I had Aaron Taylor Johnson for the middle guy because he's a good middle guy. He's the Quicksilver in Kick-Ass and I'm sure
Godzilla.
Stuff. Godzilla, yeah. And then for some of the Sith, I just, like, picked random people. I picked Daniel Radcliffe and Dane DeHaan.
Dane DeHaan has such a Sith face.
Right? Yeah, he'd be great.
Oh, my God.
And then for
put
the
him in
hunter,
alien makeup.
I had Jai Courtney as the bounty hunter, so.
Nice.
So I think he'd be a good Mandalorian, like.
Yeah.
Yeah, that works.
So
can they, these people that have the proto-saber and stuff, can they use the Force?
Yeah, I mean, they're Jedi, but back then, it wasn't using the Force as an offensive tool. I want it to kind of be more they were relying on their combat skills more than the Force. Like, the Force hadn't really been... This is, like, way early on. In
right,
the
that's
Jedi.
Why I was curious.
So they can use the Force, but not, like, in the ways we've seen in the movies.
No,
Force
is kind of like how Wicca is used. How some people claim they can stir their own coffee without even using a spoon or changing stoplights. You know, it's like that.
Well, the ones that are really powerful with the Force, they can... They're, like, obviously the masters. Like, the Sith that comes at the end... Obviously can, you know, freeze somebody, keep them from moving with the Force, so he's obviously relying more on that than a combat
mm-hmm.
or expertise. Whereas the first group, the first clan or of Jedi or whatever that we see, they're more of like a combat-oriented.
Interesting. Jedi.
So everything progresses and changes.
Right,
and
exactly.
I like that.
Yeah, and you kind of get to see where everything came from. Like, the lightsaber is like the most iconic thing from any, you know, everybody knows what a lightsaber is. And so I think it would be really cool to get a canon explanation as to where they came from and, you know, see Jedi using original, like, just metal swords and seeing Jedi use, like, a proto-saber that has, like, a restriction. You know, they can't just throw their lightsaber or anything because mm-hmm. they've got a power cord, essentially, which makes it sound less cool. But I'm sure they'd find a good way to do it.
No, I understand what you're saying.
The old cell phones, you know, where you had to, like, carry a battery pack and a backpack with you, and, like, it's got a cable, you know, all that stuff.
I like the idea of it being kind of bulky and not refined.
Because you know that they didn't, like, it didn't just magically become this cool-looking, you know...
Yeah, that wouldn't have made sense.
...elegant weapon. But, yeah. I wanted to do, like, a Knights of the Old Republic or something like that, but I wanted to... I feel like everybody's done a pitch of that, you know, on the internet and around, and so I wanted to do something that was a little different and...
I also tried to avoid some of the popular, of course, like one of the big ones is Starkiller.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, you've already, the thing about like the Starkiller character and like Knights of the Old Republic is that the way those stories are told, the way for sure the Knights of the Old Republic story is told, it doesn't give you the same experience if you're not playing the character. Because you have to make decisions in the game that influence whether you're going to be dark side or going to be light side, and that changes the way the big reveal at the end is. In a movie, it's all forced upon you, so you know it doesn't mean as much when you find out the big surprise at the end.
Yeah.
There's also much better pitches out there than what I could come up with, and I feel like no matter what I see about Knights of the Old Republic or Starkiller or the Solo Kids or... Mara Jade or something like that. Like, people have already done this. They've wanted it for years, and I can't really do it better, so I'm not going to try.
Yeah, I mean, some of this stuff has been written out now, though, because of what the direction Disney has taken the franchise.
Right.
You know, so...
But, like, Revan, it's kind of a weird gray one, because he's... Like, they've released Black Series action figures of Revan, which that... Those are... I mean, those are, like, current running lines of figures. That, yeah. So...
Disney started that.
Yeah, and I mean, he hasn't shown up in anything canon unless, like, the Old Republic ends up being canon, the game.
So, but, as of today, no. But I think kind of their stance is more of just, it's canon until they contradict it in a movie.
But they've said that, like, current running games and movies and TV shows are canon, and that game has been running for...
Disney published. So, like, there were some books that were still, like, being published, and there's some other stuff that doesn't count. So I don't know if what video games count and what video games don't.
Maybe they should just put out a list. And, like, this is everything we count, this is everything we don't.
They kind of did that with the books, where they basically said that anything published after the acquisition that isn't canon is legends.
Yeah.
Right? And then Disney published stuff is canon. Video games are a little bit different. Video games, I would probably say, are a game that old is probably not canon.
But it's not that old. I mean, it's still a running game.
It's still a running game, right, but it was
Released updates and things like that for it. So it's not like it's out of date.
No. But it was pre-acquisition.
Well, the particular with Revan is that, like, they made a toy of him. And that's a weird spot for me because it's like, I mean, that's a Disney-licensed product. It has Disney on the box.
I would say the character is canon.
Which is weird, because, like, wouldn't he have been referenced at some point ever in any of the shows? You know what I mean? It's a very weird situation.
You and I are not big fans of the cartoon, so maybe was mentioned in an offhanded comment sometime.
It's possible.
You know?
I mean, that would be cool. I felt like that would have been big news, though, if that was the case.
I don't know. Name dropping is one thing. Then
there's a lot of Revan fans out there.
Sure. But, you know, if you don't show them... If he doesn't have any real impact on the plot, and it's literally a name drop.
Yeah, that's true.
Then he becomes.
He had a religion based around him, so maybe like name drop Revanites or something.
There you go.
Like that,
exactly. So like he immediately becomes canon, but kind of inconsequential to that story, so it's not really news.
That would be a movie I would want to see. But I mean, a Revan movie has been pitched, I'm sure, and you know all kinds of fan paid stuff about it on the internet.
Yeah,
he was just a really interesting character, kind of balancing the dark and the light, and going from Jedi to Sith to Jedi and back and forth. Kind of like Kyle Katarn, which is another one I wanted to do, but Rogue One kind of stole that thunder from me.
A little bit.
Sorry, buddy.
It's okay. We had better stories than just stealing the Death Star plans, so. The Jedi Academy story where he's teaching with Luke on Yavin, I think it was, and they're raising Jedi now, and post Return of the Jedi, and all that stuff was really cool.
Yeah, I would be... See, that's the thing, like, don't get me wrong, I really like The Force Awakens and everything, but... I would really like to know what happened relatively soon after Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
You know, from a canon perspective.
I want to know what happened the next day. Like, we can all pretty much surmise that the Ewoks were destroyed.
Not like the next day.
No, but pretty soon.
They all had hangovers the next day.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, the next day to me is more interesting than the teddy bear party, how it ended.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of interesting, right? Because...
You obviously didn't destroy the Empire just because you...
No, because, I mean, they destroyed a much smaller Death Star in the first movie, and that didn't really stop them, so they just made a much bigger one in the third movie, and blew that one up, and, I mean...
And then they did it again in Force Awakens.
A much bigger one.
Yeah.
Planet Killer.
Yeah. Not my favorite part of that movie.
It's called the Starkiller.
Called Starkiller.
You know. I wasn't saying that was the name of it. That's what it does.
That's what all the Death Stars do.
Yeah. But this one could do it in systems. It kills entire systems at the same time.
Right. But I think the name Starkiller comes from how it drains the star for its energy. I do like how it was very convenient. It was like, it needs exactly the same amount of energy that's in this star of fire. Wow. No less. Perfect,
We really planned this well, guys. I want to know who the mathematician... I want to see the mathematician's story that I had to go through and determine, I need 7,000 kilojoules of energy to power this weapon.
That's a 30-minute short I would watch.
Right. You need to know, will this star be enough for us?
Yes. You've got 10 minutes. Do the math.
As long as you fire it, at this exact moment, it'll be perfect.
Otherwise, Bill Weasley's going to be very upset. Yes. Never forget, General Hux is also Bill Weasley.
Yeah. Well, and he, I think he'd have to end up being in my movie.
Yeah.
You know.
I think so,
too. Which is weird, but... Yeah. So. So.
Did you think about having different troopers?
Yeah, you should put, like, Death Troopers and, like, Sand Troopers and stuff in there.
What if it's all the same people and they just have different uniforms for different environments?
Yeah, they've got a closet of, like, all the different Stormtroopers.
I'm not, like, so here's the thing. Just, like, let's talk about this.
Are we going to Hawks today?
Let's talk about it practically for a moment. Of course, that's possible that you'd have, like, an alternate role, but these are very specialized things, right? The TIE fighter pilots, that's a very difficult job.
Well, she's talking about the different troopers, Sand Troopers.
I feel like
the pilots are a kind of trooper.
Right, but she's talking like the ones that actually have trooper in
the ones that were on the bikes that fought on Endor.
Yes.
Could also be the ones that fought on Hoth.
You're like, absolutely that's just... right. Yes, because those are environmental suits.
Exactly. That's more what I was thinking. Okay. And also, they can cross over with the Death Troopers.
Well, the Death Troopers
One.
Were specific because those were like an elite, force.
Yeah, the elite of the elite.
That one guy.
The assassins.
Right. Like those were very specific. Exactly. Right. Versus the ones you see in Empire Strikes Back are wearing stuff for the cold. Versus the ones in Return of the Jedi, they're wearing stuff for the jungle.
Yeah.
Right. That's just different uniforms. Just like our own military has like Arctic camouflage. Versus jungle and desert camouflage.
So a stormtrooper, like, what are the bike troopers called? Or the Endor troopers? Like, do they have a name?
I don't know if they have a name.
No, they do. I'm forgetting what it is.
Okay,
so
I'm going to call them the forest troopers.
It might be something like that, actually. It's not forest trooper,
it's
I'm
not,
pretty sure, but it's something along those lines.
But a regular stormtrooper could fulfill all three of those roles.
Well, because they're not really roles. They're just... specific uniforms for the environment. That's
fair enough.
Yeah, so do you think they have like a closet of all the different environments?
No, they have a locker like where they go like an environmental
area. They rent out the costumes like they do like Disney employees do.
Okay.
Everybody gets crabs.
I'm sure that's exactly how it works.
Or lice or any kind of number of different...
During the 70s there was a huge plague of crabs for all the Disney actors because they would wash the clothes once a week instead of once a day.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's disgusting.
They have since remedied this,
I
but
hope so.
Everybody in the, like...
Allegedly.
Park had crabs.
All right, so we are getting close on time here.
All right.
Do we want to tell anybody about any of the fun stuff we have planned?
Okay, so we're going to start our first limited series. We don't know if it's going to be called... to Infinity Wars and Beyond, or if it's going to be called The Road to Thanos.
Well, you can call it whatever you want, because anybody who subscribes to Screen Heroes will automatically get them. They're going to be added to the Screen Heroes feed.
That's true.
So,
limited show. It's just a rewatch of the MCU movies. It's going to go in a little more depth than what we can do here on Screen Heroes, because some of these movies we've been watching for 8 years now, so we can reflect on them a little bit more, and we can go a little more in depth about the things that bothered us about them. So it's not a ratings, it's not a what did you think of the film, it's like how did this affect you, how did this affect the MCU, how did what plot threads were dropped and not continued, which ones were continued and shouldn't have.
I mean, for the older ones, it's really a retrospective.
Absolutely.
In a way. Mm-hmm. And we're going to do them in release order.
Yes, not chronological, because that gets a little weird, and there
confusing.
Are supplemental things in there. We are not going to be going through and rewatching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Agent Carter...
This is just the movies.
The shorts and the Netflix stuff. But if you want, we will tell you this is when it debuted, and this is where you can start that if this is what you want.
The first episode, which will be Iron Man, will release on Sunday, December 31st. It'll be the last thing released in the HPN for 2017. And then they will go every Sunday up until the week before Infinity War. We'll finish off with Black Panther. And then we'll have, of course, our Infinity War review here on Screen Heroes on our normal episode. So I will be a guest on the Incredible Hulk episode, yes. Maybe a couple more. The idea is to bring some guests on to discuss entire series. So hopefully we'll get the same person for all three Iron Man movies.
That's the idea. Can't always work with people's schedules, but looking forward to this. I hope that the network is able to do more limited run series like this in the past, and maybe we'll replay the episodes for Ant-Man and Wasp in July. It's July that it comes out.
And so it'll be a little bit different. Ryan and I are not hosts. Ray and Jeremy, who is a co-host with me on Red Shirts and Runabouts and also hosts Saturday Morning Tombcast on the network, will be doing it with Ray. And yes. Then the third person will be whoever our guest is for that particular week. So keep track of that. If you subscribe to Screen Heroes, you will automatically get those episodes. They will be labeled differently, so if they're not something of interest to you, that's totally fine.
Yeah, but skip it. It's okay.
You don't have to sign up for anything new. Just sign up for Screen Heroes. Mm-hmm. Ryan, do you have anything that you'd like to bring up at this time?
I do not.
You do not. No. All right. Well, then that is going to be it for us.
If you guys didn't know, we have a Patreon. Check that out. We have videos. It is patreon.com/heroespodcast. I know we pitched at the beginning. We're going to pitch at the end, too. We are trying to have some new rewards for 2018. Every dollar helps. Your dollar is now $1.19. So, sorry. We're not
going to get into that, but yeah.
But, yeah.
If you want to talk Patreon logistics with us, you can hit us up at Heroes Podcast or email us, contact.
No, it's $1.37. My bad. I forgot about that. I'm trying to memorize.
Okay. Or you can email us at contact@heroespodcast.com. But we're trying to do some really cool stuff. We're trying to buy some new audio and video equipment to increase the quality of our shows. So it would really help. And you get exclusive behind-the-scenes access to our content, including some fun outtakes that we're starting next week from our videos.
How many shows did we add in 2017?
We added a ton. We started 2017 with just Screen Heroes. We now have 5 shows on the network. We have a limited run show that's starting the last day of the year, and we have a brand new show starting in January.
So, I mean, imagine what your Patreon rewards will get you next year, because we added 4 this year, and we were kind of slacking. Imagine what's going to happen next year.
This is a big deal, guys. We went from just 3 people, hosts on the network, to we now have 9 people who are hosts on this network. And we all work very, really hard to bring you different stuff, and we want it to sound and look as good as possible. And that's how you can help us do that. Really, every dollar counts.
It absolutely really does. That's where your money goes. We funnel it right back in, and hopefully you are able to see it. But
that's going to be it, I think, for us tonight. I think we've talked enough about Patreon.
Oh, no. I was just going to say, we have brand new content for you in 2018.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
Yes.
It'll be good stuff. So thanks for tuning in. Join us next week for our review of Star Wars Episode 8, The Last Jedi. I imagine that episode will be a larger episode, probably pushing more of the hour and a half mark. But join us live Tuesday at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central. You can chat with us live. We will read your comments on the show as long as they are relevant and somewhat appropriate. So join us live Tuesday night on Twitch, twitch.tv/heroespodcasts. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Good night.